podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scouser Tommy's on Anfield Index and Anfield Index Pro. Don't forget that if you like to listen to the whole of the podcast and you don't want to be interrupted by ads or anything else, that you can subscribe to Anfield Index Pro. Loads of value for money. You get plenty for your money, including all the podcasts that we do. There's loads of them. Just something for just about anything. If you're a Liverpool fan, there's just something you're going to enjoy listening to, and lots of it. More details at AnfieldIndexPro.com. Go and have a quick look if you can. And by all means, if you think you can afford to support us, please do. We'll always try and get some stuff out to you for free, or at least part of it for free. We do our best to do that. But if you can support us, please do. I think I said it last week. It's better spending the money on that than on the Amazon get your ads taken off your thing. I mean, I since that came along on Amazon, I haven't even bothered watching it. But I don't know whether that's partly because of all the footy. Jay Reed's with me today, as always. Just so many games on at the minute. I mean, you can have all the subscriptions you want to the streaming services, but when you're a Liverpool fan lately, I think you're just basically watching loads of games. And most recent one, the European action, a little bit of a, you know, a marginal win. But before that, of course, the City game, which we were all looking forward to, all wondering how it was going to turn out, wondering what it meant for the season. And it feels like a long time ago now. It was less than a week ago, but it's going to be a long time until we carry on with the season. But as much as it ended in a way that saw us end the weekend lower down the table than we started it, I still feel that that result was good for us, and probably, you know, of all the people looking at that result, we probably came out the best from that. I think Arsenal would have preferred maybe one side to lose. I don't know. Who knows? But for us, we got the point. I can't see Arsenal beating City. Might be wrong. I can't see them going all season without dropping points. I just feel like we're still going to be in the driving seat soon.
Yeah, I feel, I wouldn't say that, you know, we hold the better cards, but, you know, we hold a fair few good ones in our hand is probably the best way of putting it. I think last weekend was a situation where it was not a must win, it was just must not lose. You know, going into that City game, regardless of any other situations, and, you know, Arsenal managed to get themselves another win by fair or foul means, you know, whether that buys into the media narrative, probably not, given, you know, I think it was given about 10 seconds of airtime on Match of the Day that Kai Havertz shouldn't have been on the pitch for two blatant yellow card offences. And then, you know, a mistake by a referee the week before who misinterpreted his rules or laws of the game, however they want to word it, you know, somehow influenced the goal that we scored a minute and 50 seconds later after, you know, so much had gone on in the field of play. That was given basically about 3 days media coverage, but I suppose, you know, that's just the way the media narrative is and whatever. But we had to just get through that game. You know, given the squad situation, you know, City, arguably that's their best 11 on the day. Some would argue maybe one or two players here or there for them. That's just purely based on personal opinions. But, you know, if that City team lined up in, you know, what could be the Champions League final for them this season, I don't think you'd see many City fans disputing, you know, who was in the starting lineup. And if you look at our team, we're missing, you know, four or five starters from our, you know, best 11. And then, you know, personal opinion aside again, you know, in Andy Robertson, another lad who was sat on the bench who some might have as a starter, some might have as a squad player, depending on what you want. And Mo Salah, of course, didn't start the game. So we were severely weakened by what we were going into the game with. But you know, had you have offered us a point beforehand, you probably would have, I'll reluctantly take it. You know, and as the game panned out in the first half, you probably would have thought, well, you know, it's probably 50-50, 60-40 maybe in City's favour on the base of play. So, yeah, we would take a point now. But as the game transpired in the second half and the dominance we had, and obviously we'll come to the grievous decision at the end, you know, you do kind of left field with a bit of a sour taste in your mouth from the outcome of that result, which, you know, across the basis of the season won't be a bad point, but, you know, in previous years gone by, we've lost league titles by a point or two, and you just think, if you'd have beat City once over that balance of a season, maybe the draw with them, it might have just tipped it in our favour, and hopefully this is the, you know, not the season that'll be the case, but yeah, I still think we hold a good chance of basically deciding our own destiny in the league anyway.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to forget as well that we're actually still level on points with Arsenal, but due to the absolute collapse, was it Sheffield United? Shipped so many goals, and yeah, where are they now? Seven.
They played the bottom two, and I think they put 11 or 12 past the bottom two.
Yeah.
So that's how you make it up.
There's 7 points, 7 goals better off than us, but, you know, there's 10 games for us to catch that up with as well. And that's the other part that gives us a bit of, you know, it's easy to kind of forget that the goal difference is what's keeping us apart at the moment. And I think, yeah, we're good at shipping goals at the other end. I mean, clean sheets aren't something we're bothered about these days, it seems, but, it doesn't matter, does it? When, I mean, we'll come on to the next game shortly as well. We're definitely capable of scoring goals. And I think there's still the chance that it could come to that. My hope though is that, Arsenal and City take points off each other or something as when they play, and as the season goes on, they're dropping more points, because I'd quite like it if we didn't have to get to the last game of the season with half the fan base needing some kind of medical intervention to get them through it because of heart problems or whatever. But we'll see. That's how football is. That game itself, though, I mean, that was definitely one to get the heart rate up. I mean, just quickly on the lineup as well, if you'd said to me sort of at Christmas that we'd get to this point of the season, and when we play that game, it'll only be a draw, would you take it? I'd probably be thinking, even with the league table, it's always, I'd be thinking, like you just said, I'd be sort of thinking, oh, come on, surely it's time we actually get the 3 points against them, you know, make a change from, you know, looking back on a season and thinking, oh, if only we'd beaten them that time. But how many times have we done it and we thought, if only the ref had been different? I think the team we put out, for it to draw against the side, as you say, about as strong as City can get, and that's the side, of course, that when it is weakened, they spent so much money that they've still got some decent quality backup. We're down to the bare bones, and we have been for quite a while. And what I'm loving about us at the moment is the fact that whoever goes out there just puts in a decent shift. The kids are getting better when they're playing. And I mean, you mentioned Andy Robertson as well. I get what you're saying when someone says, what's your personal choice? I mean, let's say Liverpool make it last game of the season, Europa League final, what's your final 11? Everyone will have a different answer. But a lot of that will depend on what kind of players they've been like. I mean, Andy Robertson, at his best, you'd never think twice about sticking him down on the team sheet straight away. But when he's not at his best, then maybe that's different. But how much of that's down to injuries and things, you know? So there's lots, you know, lots that could come into it. That's the other side to it. When we are getting these top players back, these big name players back, we're not getting them back at 100%. You know, Mo Salah's looking dangerous after last night, but at the weekend, it was just, you know, more of a cameo for him to be involved. And Darwin looks hungry at the moment, but you're still worrying at, you know, how long is that going to last, because you're having to overuse players. So I'm hoping the injuries come to an end, but this is what the trouble for us did. These are the things we've had to battle this season. We've had to battle not spending a fortune in the transfer window, which we thought was going to be a big problem. We've overcome that by unearthing some gems from the academy. We've had to overcome crazy amount of injuries. Like, it's off the scale. There's been plenty of stats spoken about how bad we've been in terms of injuries compared to other players, other teams with their players, even though the, you know, the usual trolls on Twitter and elsewhere, I'll be sort of making out that Liverpool have hardly been touched by injuries. Yeah, okay then, whatever you think. But the other thing that's been bothering us all season, and it's cost us so many points, and we tend to kind of, there's times when it's not cost us points because we've just thought, what the hell, are we up against the 12th man yet again? Let's just deal with it and get something from this. And we've done that time and again, but you can't do it all the time. And you're right. I mean, it was another game. from the off, Michael Oliver seemed to be letting, I don't know, there was days gone by when you'd watch a derby, Liverpool, Everton, and the ref would say, and I'm talking kind of 80s more than anything now, the ref would kind of be thinking, there's no way I'm getting any cards out here early on, because if I do that, there'll be no one left by the end, you know. And so, you know, you'd see a rough and tumble derby game where everyone was, you know, really sticking the foot in. But you don't get that as much nowadays in football. I don't think you do. Yet somehow Michael Oliver decided it was a good day to do it, because probably, maybe, I don't know, a bit of Gulf solidarity. I'm only joking, but, you know, it feels that way when it's something like, it's the City players that are doing the fouls that should be yellow cards, and these cards don't even seem to be with him. And it sets the tone for the rest of the game then. They seem to get away with so much. I mean, you know, I thought Walker should have been off, you know, if he had all the cards up. And fair enough, if he'd have got a yellow, maybe he'd have eased off. But again, that's the thing. If a player's on a yellow early on because he's been rough and tumble, whatever, then they've got to temper how they play the rest of the game, or they're going to be off. And that's the other advantage you get from them being, you know, being punished how they should be. And it just feels like, I don't know, that's the only thing I can give him. That's the only sort of explanation I can give to Oliver, is he was thinking, if I treat this like a derby, I'll just let things go. But he just didn't, I don't know, it seems to be one-sided to me.
Even in derbies, though, like, you know, you like to see, you know, a little bit of leeway, as mm-hmm. they say. But there seems to be this unwritten rule, you know, and, you know, referees will allow so many things. So, you know, like your first foul or two is free, as they say. You know, so you can get away with one. And, you know, usually after the second foul, the referees had the word, and then your third one, you're in the book. But, you know, City seems to get away with three or four before they would even have a word with them.
Yeah.
And credit to Manchester City, which is hard to do at times. Like, as good as the players that they've got a few snides in there. And, you know, Rodri, king of the snides, and Bernardo Silva not too far behind them. But, you know, you've got players who go under the radar, and, you know, maybe it's the fact because of where the passports attach to them. You know, maybe Ben White want to reconsider that one, but that's a different topic. but, you know, Kyle Walker, John Stones, you know, Phil Foden, they get away with, you know, little things in there. And, you know, sorry, Mike, you know, they give him that one, or sorry, Mickey, whatever they call Michael Oliver these days. You know, I'm sure they've probably got a nickname for him. Ask
Ollie, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, ask whatever they call him in Qatar or Abu Dhabi when he goes and does his freelancing work over there.
It'll be Al
Mickey, Al Ollie, or something like that. It'll be whatever he's saved in the phone on the Sheikh Mansour has. But that's another one again for another day. But you always do feel as though, like, you know, English lads get away with it, and we've had it ourselves over time. You know, look at how much shit James Milner got away with. You know, little snide fouls that Jordan Henderson, when he could be bothered or could get near people at times to throw a snide one in. It would be like, you know, they put the arm around the ref and, you know, it's, you know, look, come on, give me a bit of leeway here. You know, I'm English, or in Milner's case, I'm 74 and, you know, I've been playing that long, I can't actually do what I used to do. But give me one or two, ref, and you go, okay, I'll give you that one. And it just seems to fly. But last week, I think he allowed that game to, you know, escalate into a situation where it got out of control in terms of the pettiness, you know, the petty little fouls. There was nothing really overly nasty that went on in the game. But he allowed it to become that way. And, you know, you're sort of setting your rod for your own back then in that regard. And then I think he could have done more. And then maybe that unwritten rule that you can't give a yellow card in the first 15, 20 minutes may be applied to later on in the game, where you can't give a key decision, whether it be in the 90th minute or not.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. you can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour, no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit libertyshield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, I mean, there was so many. I mean, I the thing about Walker that stuck in my head was he put a really meaty tackle in on one of ours, and I think it was a definite, you know, if you're being kind to the ref and saying he doesn't want to start dishing cards out too early, it's definitely one where you stop him from whatever he thinks he's going to do, and you just pull him to one side and you tell him not to do that again. And if he does, it'll be in the book. And if, you know, of course, he didn't get the telling off and he did it again not long after. But the thing that wound me up most about it was, and maybe I've misunderstood what he meant by it, but there was, as he was running away, you could see on the replays, after the replays, you could see him running away, the cameras were closing in on him. And he sort of did this gesture that might have been saying to his teammates, come on, we've got it, you know, fist up, you know, sort of showing your face, sort of saying, come on, lads, we've got to do this. But to me, it almost felt like he's saying, like, oh, really got, you know, really hit him there then. I might be wrong. It just felt like it was sort of him sort of saying, let's be aggressive with these. We're going to get away with it almost. I might be reading too much into it, but I don't think I am completely. I think there's definite aspects of that. And obviously him being an England international, I suppose you get a bit more leeway. But I mean, we could be here all day talking about the ref, but I think another quick one for me was that I know there's this thing about double jeopardy. And if you foul someone in the box, you're not going to get a red for a professional foul because of the double jeopardy rule if a pen's awarded. But a professional foul isn't the same as sort of, to me, I thought Edison had done enough that even if it wasn't sort of as a professional foul, even if it wasn't a goal scoring opportunity situation, if a midfielder had done that in the middle of the park and there was, you know, there was definitely no goal scoring opportunity, I think he'd have gone for that kind of challenge. Maybe it looked worse than it was because Darwin was at pace and he just went flying after it. But to me, that should have been a red card on its own. And I know he went off, and they had to bring the subkeeper on anyway, but the subkeeper had been coming on as part of a 10-man team instead of 11. And then, as you say, right at the end, new penalty king gets kicked in the chest and doesn't get a penalty for it. And I just don't understand that one, because it's not only with the time of the game, like you say, which I think is a nonsense excuse. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That is a disgraceful foul, whether it's in the first minute or the last. And there's no doubt there'd have been a foul awarded if it had happened in the centre circle. There'd have been a card dished out for it. How can it not even be a foul? And there's no excuse. And again, we said it before, no explanation. If there's a good reason for it, tell us.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the double jeopardy thing paid dividends in the fact that hopefully Edison's injured. maybe that was the small consolation we take from that, like how that will affect the rest of the season with the now, you know, international break coming up. It could just be a case that maybe City are doing the old Ferguson trick and playing the mind games, because Kevin De Bruyne has miraculously got an injury as well. And I'm sure there's another City player who's pulled out of it. I think it's Rodri who's pulled out of international duty. Funny how that all works on the eve of an international break. That foul at the end, like, as I always say, from my vantage position, you know, for two-thirds, three-quarters of the way back in the cop, like, to see anything that goes on at the other end of the pitch is tough at times, given the fact it was a scramble in the penalty box. And all we could see really was McAllister gone down. Obviously, the crowd are vociferous. It's 97, 98 minutes, whatever it is, and, you know, tensions and emotions are running really high. And you're appealing for Everton, of course you would be, but you don't actually know what you're appealing for because it's so far away. You're just going with the motions of everyone else in the crowd, and, you know, you just think, like, okay, well, you know, maybe they'll look at it. Okay, it's not being given. And this is the, I suppose, the feeling that you get at the ground. It's like, you go, oh, we didn't get that one. But you don't know why you didn't get it. You know, like, you know that McAllister's been down. And when you come away and you actually see, you know, clips of what actually is going on, you are really left with a sour taste in your mouth, because as you say, that's a foul, you know, 99 times out of 100 anywhere else on the pitch, you know, unless it's, you know, Tyrone Mings on Cody Gakpo and John Brooks, who conveniently is the referee against Manchester United this weekend, is refereeing, and you can scrape your studs down Cody Gakpo's chest, and that's fine. So maybe it's just an unwritten rule in the PGMOL that, you know, high feet on Liverpool players is allowed. But it does leave you feeling like, you know, the Arsenal game with the Odegaard handball, which, you know, you then found out a few days later, oh yeah, there was a terrible error or whatever within the VAR process, like much like the Tottenham one. And I was half expecting to have an apology issued this week by the PGMOL that, oh yeah, the process or whatever was incorrect and they got it wrong, and, you know, they were going to issue an apology, but apologies don't give you points. And I suppose the fact that they haven't, you know, it's kind of a little bit better in a small way, you know, that they haven't admitted that they made it wrong, and you just accept the fact that it's just shit and maybe corrupt.
Yeah.
But it does leave you that little sour taste in your mouth. And, you know, going into a cup game this weekend and the international break, when there's, you know, very few league fixtures involving those teams at the top, you know, we could have potentially been sat there a couple of points clear, where now we're level pegging, as we said, albeit the goal difference. But I suppose it's what the media would like. I did have a feeling, regardless of what that foul was, like, this was how they wanted it. This is what they wanted. You know, like the media and, you know, the people behind the scenes are loving this. The fact that there's, you know, goal difference keeping two sides apart and then a point keeping the other team behind them. You know, this is what they want. They don't want anyone getting away and running away with it, because, you know, look at, well, on the flip case, Germany, you know, Bayern Munich have robbed the league for 9 years or whatever, 10 years in a row, and this season Leverkusen have flipped it. But there's so many leagues around Europe where you look around and you see, like, you know, PSG have walked the French league, PSV Eindhoven have walked the Dutch league, Real Madrid look like they're going to walk Spain. You know, it becomes boring, and this is probably why the Premier League is the most watched league, because it's so competitive at the very top end. Obviously, it's competitive in other sections of the league between those, like, sort of mini leagues, but it would have maybe got a little bit out of hand had Liverpool gone on and won this league by 3 or 4 games to spare. The old Super Sunday final day, you know, flipping between the games on the channel sort of situation, wouldn't have been allowed to manifest. Maybe they would have had to just do the race for fourth place or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. And I think if you sort of compare it to a Hollywood movie, if someone was making a Hollywood movie of a league season, then what you'd want is, you'd want it to go all the way to the end, that, you know, the last bit of the film is literally the winning goal going in the 99th minute or whatever, obviously from Darwin. And that wins you the league. But, you know, the last thing Sky won is the kind of Hollywood movie where, you know, it's exciting for halfway, and then it sort of ends with like a bit of some sort of text at the end that tells you what happened, because it's not worth filming it, because it was just like a procession. So I get that. Obviously they love that. And I wonder if that is why sometimes they don't kind of push things and say this is wrong. But again, I've said this before, I think their product is going to look tarnished if they keep raising the fact that there's so much dodgy decision-making going on. And I think the best answer for us, I mean, it would have been, it's mad, isn't it? 2 points. I would have felt so much more comfortable. I wouldn't be saying, oh, we're definitely going to win the league, but I'd almost be sort of, maybe almost would be saying that, because that's how much of a difference those 2 points would have made. And of course you get given the pen, you've got to score it, but I'd have backed him to score it. But you know, there's nothing much we can do about that now. And I think the best way we can deal with that situation is just to go out into our games and say, we might be up against a dodgy ref. We might be playing with so many players missing. We don't know what the outcome's going to be of, you know, what kind of man's on the VAR, whether the VAR is going to have the sense to say to a ref, come look at a decision like that again, whether refs are going to go back and give yellows for fouls that should have been given. We've just got to get on with it and say, look, chances are, 90% chance, we'll have a ref who's awful, who messes up and gives bad decisions that go against us. It's just how it happens. We've just got to get on with it and win the game in our own time. And I think in the European match last night, it was a 5-1 first leg lead. And you still think to yourself, if that side have got anything about them, I mean, we've the top of their own league. They've definitely got dangerous aspects to the play. They definitely worried us a little bit away in the away leg. And I thought to myself, you know what? If they can get out here and score a couple of goals early on, they could start making us be a little bit worried. And although I didn't feel like we're necessarily going to go out, it could have been a less than comfortable experience if they sort of came out with the right attitude. I'm not saying they didn't come out with the right attitude, but we came out with an attitude of like stuff that. We're going to actually make sure that you don't get into that situation. I can't remember. And I know, I mean, on the TV, McManaman was mostly sort of making it down to errors on their part, but I don't think it's just that. We were waiting to pounce on any little errors that they made, and we didn't just pounce on them. We capitalized on them as much as we could. We were ruthless. Sparta Prague, I mean, definitely, I don't think they're as bad a team as we made them look when you look at that scoreline. I just think it's the perfect answer to when you've got games where refs aren't clearly not on your side. Just get out there and annihilate the opposition all on your own terms.
Yeah, and I think had we sort of approached that game last night in what we all expected would have been a heavily rotated team. You know, it might have been a bit of a closer affair. I think it was a bit of a shock actually when that team dropped.
Yeah,
you know, and the lineup that was out there was like. He's taken this strong, but I suppose we don't know, you know, behind the scenes what's going on in terms of, you know, the sports science and the medical advice, and Klopp is with advocates of rhythm, isn't he, within players? And
yeah.
You know, for the likes of, you know, Robertson just coming back from injury not so long ago, Szoboszlai's just come back, Zala's just come back. You know, you kind of expected those three to feature for the minutes and just, you know, to get them in the rhythm. Mr. Buzzword, as it is to play, but then you would have expected more of, you know, McConnell, Clark. Who else have we got? You know, like Kay Gordon was on the bench. Maybe Jaden Danz would have got a start. You kind of expected all that to feature. Mm. And the fact that they never was a bit of a surprise. But then I suppose if we then go to United the weekend and we go in there sharp and all those players who performed well last night, go and do the same on Sunday. You know, Klopp can turn around and say, well, you know, we had to give them, you know, in a week of horse racing, you know, give them a pre-run, yeah. You know, get them out there and just give them a run round the track and make sure they're prepped and they're ready for the bigger occasion. And maybe that's what it was, you know, in the case of Sal, you know, getting them out there a goal and three assists, Gakpo picking up a couple. Will do his confidence no harm. Darwin again on the score sheet and Szoboszlai back on the score sheet. You know, it's good. It's good to keep that momentum running. But as you say, I don't think Sparta are that bad. But they played into our hands and they made it really easy for us. And I think, you know, not too many times have we seen this season us go out from the off and sort of, you know, press and push a team into suffocation at times, and we've often said, you know, we've sort of took a back step and allowed teams to sort of come at us and see what they've got, and then we're like, right, well, now we've let you have a go, now we're going to have a go and we're going to show you that we're better than you anyway, beat you. Which kind of felt like last weekend against City, albeit, you know, the quality of Man City at times is significantly better than many others. We did sort of invite them on. And then we got back into it, and then the second half we did, you know, annihilate them with only apart from putting the ball in the back of the net. So, you know, if it comes to this weekend and Klopp's think, right, well, you've got two sorts of approaches there. Let's go with the Thursday night approach. Let's go with the, we're going to go after you because you're okay, but you're not very good in terms of Manchester United. And if you just attempt to sort of play out from the back with the standard of players that you've got, we'll just go after you. And wouldn't it be nice if we sort of reversed the ball draw that we had at Anfield, and you know, we've still got them in the league to come in a couple of weeks' time, but if we go out and sort of put a marker down on them in the cup now and sort of you know, draw a line in the sand and say, well, this is what we can do, and, you know, we're gonna put to bed your chances of any trophy this season, because this is literally all they've got to play for. So, you know, potentially their cup final, maybe a bit of naivety, but if we go with that approach, I don't see anything other than, you know, a victory coming back in our favour.
Yeah, and I would say, at the moment, and every time I sort of say anything about, I'm touching wood, it feels like we've got some good firepower at the moment in terms of our injury list. You know, you look at the sort of, we've got obviously got players missing, but we've got a decent number who are able to, who should be able to play a part in the game against the Manx. So you hope that, you know, I don't want to sort of tempt fate a little bit by saying I'm not worried about them going forward, but after the last time we played against them, I'm not worried about them going forward. But maybe that's because we didn't actually see any evidence of them even wanting to do that last time we played them. It's going to be interesting, but I think last night it was clear that I don't think Salah was meant to play a whole game because of stuff Klopp said beforehand. But Clark picked up an injury. But yeah, you could see, I mean, there was clearly planning. I mean, I know that Klopp actually got a yellow, didn't he? Because he complained because instead of letting us get the substitution done that we planned, which was for Virgil to come off for Kwanzaa, about 65, 66 minutes, the ref kind of let play go on. The sub didn't get made and Kwanzaa got a yellow, which in European competition can be quite, you know, it's quite expensive, isn't it? You only need two to miss a game. So I'm not sure when they get reset, but, you know, it's not good for him. And no wonder Klopp was fuming. But again, it was part of the plan. And you can kind of look at that and maybe think, you're getting an idea of the lineup, which, you know, with Gomez going off at half time, it feels pretty obvious he's going to be involved, but we don't know where. It could be left, right, or in the middle of defence. It's interesting, but this is one of the silver linings to the cloud of all the injuries we've had this season, is we've been able to get different players doing different things and getting, you know, there's more options for Klopp for what's left of the season. But Bradley, again, he played a full game, which I thought maybe he'd have been one of the ones to come off, but you've got to think at his age, playing 90 minutes is, you know, less of a struggle to recover from than maybe some of the other players in the squad. You know, he should be fine to play on Sunday if we want him to play. But one of the frustrations I had on the coverage, and I don't know if you've seen the coverage off BT, is after the game, they got him as the interviewee, if you like. So they stuck him some headphones on and handed him a mic, and they're asking him questions. And he's only a young lad. He's not been in the limelight much at all, has he? And they're asking him about what, you know, where he sees for the rest of the future. And they're just trying to push him to say that Liverpool are going for a quadruple. And he kept sort of coming back and saying, you know, we're taking one game as it comes, you know, we'll see where we are at the end of the season. And in the end, he pushed me so much. I think they said to him, so we're going to win the quadruple. And he went, that's the plan. And you felt, I get what he means. He means we're going to take one game, every game as it comes. We're going to see where we are at the end of the season. If you just take each game and win it, you're going to win all four things, aren't you? Kind of thing. So I get where he's coming from on that, but it felt as if they were pushing to get him to say that we're going for the quadruple, so that if it doesn't happen, they can turn around and say, ha-ha, yeah, you were going for the quadruple, but it didn't work out. I just don't see the need to keep pushing him, and he's only a young lad. Maybe I'm being, you know, a bit oversensitive here, but I just think, again, we're on about media narratives, and you feel like this is an example of where they're trying to set us up to have a go at us later on, and I hope that we answer him by shoving it down the throats and winning all four.
Hey, guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.